Amen. All right, now I want to pick up with some material today, and I hope that we can digest this, because this is some of the stuff I'm going to leave you with that's going to make you think, and that's what I want to do. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for the gift of teaching. I pray for unction, Heavenly Father. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we study the Word now. In thy name we pray. Amen. Turn to Revelation 13. And in Revelation chapter number 13, I want you to read this. And no, let's make it 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now note carefully, this is what's important. With all power and signs and lying wonders and all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is the method God judges all of us by, is the light presented and the light rejected. Now I want to start off with a state leader of the ACLU. This is a very intelligent, highly educated lady. She is an African-American. Her name is Maya Dillard Smith. She was the state leader of the American Civil Liberties Union. She's the director of the Georgia chapter and has had an epiphany. Now, here's the report from LifeSite News. This is important, folks. This is the practical application of what Obama has done. The African-American woman who leads a state chapter of the ACLU has resigned, citing her own daughter's frightened reaction to biological males using the women's restroom. Now, listen carefully to what's going on here. The organization's increasing focus on legislating the transgender lobby's concern pushed her to tender her resignation. Quote, I have shared my personal experience of having taken my elementary school age daughters into a women's restroom when shortly after three transgender young adults over 6 feet tall with deep voices entered, she wrote. She continues, my children were visibly frightened, concerned about their safety, and left asking questions, lots of questions, for which I, like many parents, listen carefully, was ill prepared to answer. She continued, a veil seems to have been lifted from her eyes, allowing her to see. This woman's an attorney now. In a statement, she said the ACLU's become a special interest organization that promotes not all, but certain progressive rights. The hierarchy of rights the ACLU chooses to defend or ignore, she wrote, is based on who is funding the organization's lobbying activities, and she did not elaborate on the group's funding. Dillard Smith is no conservative. She earned a degree in economics from Berkeley and a master's degree at Harvard. Did you get this? She has a master's degree from Harvard while working for the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and the California Supreme Court. She was a leader in the ACLU, and here's the bottom line. The ACLU has an agenda that has nothing to do with truth and reality. But none of that hit her until her own two daughters became very upset when they went into the girls' bathroom, and here comes these men. Are you getting this? This is insanity. This is the definition of insanity. and it's being rammed down your throat and the throat of the rest of the people in this country. Lord only knows how much more change is going to come before the present occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is gone. This, though, highlights what I've been talking about, and that is that if they're changing the gender identity, and they're doing this for a reason. Now, remember when I told you how that I had a question for every evolutionist? Fact is, I've got two questions. I've got a question for an atheist, evolutionist, every doctor, every scientist, every philosopher on the face of this earth. Question number one for the evolutionist. Don't waste our time with biological evolution. Let's not waste our time with the evolution of this species. Forget that. What is at work in forming the evolutionary basis? What is causing this to happen? That's the question. That's a big one. You never thought of that? I mean, you just brainwashed. You just swallowed hook, line, and sinker the evolutionary doctrine. Never bothered to question it. What element is at work that makes a woman's body different from a man's body? They're both human beings, right? They're both human beings, and yet a woman's structured entirely different from a man. Obviously, she's structured that way to bear children, but it affects the man. There's something going on here. Are you listening? There's something going on that is greater than any nondescript, meaningless evolutionary process where there's no mind involved, there's no design involved, it's just happened chance and it just happens to be the way, not hogwash. Give me a break. There's something going on. There's an intelligence at work here. Now, an epiphany this morning. There's a lot of them out there who say, yes, there is an intelligence working here, but it's not the God that you claim created this. Let us explain to you what that is. Would you like to hear that? Would you like to hear their definition of the intelligence that's at work in creating or bringing about the change that, as they say, that has taken place since some tadpole crawled up out of the water from a rock and on the rest of it goes? I guess I'm tired of hearing that stupid garbage. And these are supposed to be intelligent people that believe it. But anyway, here's what happens. Listen to this. This is powerful stuff. Now, the idea that biological evolution is simply a chance endeavor has been rejected. Linda Kimball has a little article here, and I want to read the wording for you, and then we'll comment on it. I want to read it carefully and slowly and let you digest what I'm reading. As I've said to you before, this woman is a thinker. And she, I pick up here, and I've only highlighted a few places because of the sake of time. Let's read it. The contemporary Chileastic, Chile means thousand-year millennial, evolutionary movement is technocracy. The world is being actively transformed by an immoral power elite and their minions, according to a very narrow economic, political, social philosophy called technocracy, and it is impacting every segment of society in every corner of the world. When Aldous Huxley penned Brave New World, 1932, he accurately foresaw this wrenching transformation of society and predicted the end of the world would be a scientific dictatorship unlike anything the world has ever seen. What is a scientific dictatorship, preacher? I'll read to you what it is, all right? This is a scientific dictatorship. And some of you may have already been aware of this, but I want to make sure that you know it before we walk out of this building this morning. Did you know that the Attorney General of the United States of America, Loretta Lynch, the highest police officer in this country to enforce the Constitution, listen to this. The left has pushed us farther and farther away from science and towards scientism. When our Attorney General seriously ponders criminal prosecution against scientists who challenge the prevailing orthodoxy of man-made global warming. Now digest that for a moment. You take a scientific position based on your interpretation of the scientific facts, and the Attorney General of the United States is seriously considering criminal prosecution against you for that. Nothing happened in Nazi Germany any worse than that when it comes to the control of the people, the minds of the people. All right? This is exactly what we're talking about. It is a system of absolute control of the thinking processes of the people. And if you don't march to their tune, they will destroy you. And of course, the Attorney General of the United States has the full force of the United States, its treasure, its power to come down on you. And she wields enormous power. How many agree with that? The Attorney General. This is what's called the classic abuse of power. This is not originating with her. Believe me. This is not originating with Loretta Lynch. But here's a few more in the same paragraph. When our Attorney General seriously ponders criminal prosecution against scientists, of which she is not, she is no more qualified to speak to the scientific facts of global warming than I am. She may be the most brilliant legal mind in the world, but that does not qualify her to speak to global warming. How many agree with that? So there's an authority coming from somewhere else. Now I'll read it again. When Attorney General seriously ponders criminal prosecution against scientists who challenge the prevailing orthodoxy of man-made global warming, when universities drive out scientists who question global warming, when the state rewrites historic temperature data so the revised data conforms to global warming. Did you get that one? When the proof of global warming consists of what a certain percentage of scientists support, then scientism has supplanted science. So what's going on here? These people are fanatical apologists and polemicists for their religion. I'm going to show you this morning how that the idea of evolution has nothing to do with physical science. It has everything to do with religion. It started in the past, and it has evolved, to use the word, into what it is today. It is a religion. These people are dedicated to a philosophy and a religion about a power, about an unseen power that has brought into being this evolutionary world, this process of evolution that we understand it to be today. Now, when you see it in that light, then you begin to understand why they are so fanatical about their position to not allow anyone else or any other position to question theirs. You see what I mean? There's no debate with these people. They say the debate's over. When did they debate? There's no debate with these people. There's no consideration of an opposing view. Listen, did you know that when you get a PhD, that you have to stand before a board and you have to defend that PhD? How do you know that? What do you mean by defend it? You have to stand up there and they'll fire questions at you, and you better have an answer, because you are being awarded a doctor of philosophy degree, the highest degree they can give, and you're supposed to be an absolute expert in that field. Therefore, you have to defend the position that you're taking. Why do you defend it? Because everything that you understand, this Bible is open to. Let's say, for example, I get into a dialogue with a Church of Christ who believes in baptismal regeneration. I should be able to stand my position and defend what I believe, right? And he should be able to take his position and defend what he believes, right? And I should be able to go directly to the scriptures that support what I believe. He should be able to go to the scriptures that support what he believes. That is debate. That's good. So why is it good? Because it will reveal the weakness of a position Because once you get into a heated debate, if you cannot defend your position, do you know what you resort to? Name calling. And there was a representative from the state of California the other day sitting in on her high chair, and some lady was sitting down there below her. It's set up that way. There's reason for it. She's up here, the lady's down here, and the lady had the gall to question the prevailing orthodoxy as it relates to transgenderism and all the rest of this stuff. And do you know what this woman from California did? She didn't deal with the facts. There was no debate and issue. You know what she did? You bigoted, blah, 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 blah. That's what came down. She resorted to name calling. You see what I mean? Once you resort to name calling, you've lost. If you can't defend your position, you have no position. And that's what's going on here. They will not let you give an opposing view. If you are a professor in a college, you're fired. If you are a scientist in America that does not agree with the global warming, green, Gaia, goddess of the earth agenda, you're fired. We're going to criminally prosecute you. We're going to put you in prison for 10 years. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? A man with a PhD locked up in a federal prison. What's your crime? What did you do? I published a paper that disagreed with the philosophy of global warming. You know what they call those kind of prisoners? You know what Castro did in Cuba, don't you? When he took over from Batista, he went into Cuba. You know what he did? He took most of the people. The Khmer Rouge. Do you know what they did when they went into Cambodia and Laos? They took the people, lined them up, and they felt their hands. They felt their hands. The hands, if it's like my hand, he doesn't work with his hands. He works with this. They got rid of them. They got rid of all of the people who were the thinkers, the educators, all of that. They got rid of them. You know why? Because they knew too much. They took the peasants in the field and they indoctrinated them. That's the way it works. That's the way it operates. That's what Castro did in Cuba. That's what they're trying to do in this country now. They will not allow an opposing view out the door with it. You cannot think for yourself. We'll tell you when to think, what to think, the questions to answer, so forth and so on. It makes me mad. Yeah. It really angers me. And one of the reasons it angers me so much is the fact that there are so many people who do not want to hear what I'm saying. They're too happy with their religion. They've got a nice, comfortable religion where they feel good and shout, hoop and holler, and they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. And they want to be able to come to church and have their religion in their church and then go out here and live any way they please and be anything they want to be when it comes voting day and have no accountability and don't answer for it. And it's been going on like that now for decades, and look what a mess we're in. How'd we get here? How'd we get in so bad shape? If there's 50 million born-again Christians in this country, why don't they have any effect on this country? If we got 50 million born-again believers in America, why is there no effect on this nation? See? It's that crowd out there that's running it into the ground, and the church is just la-di-ta-di-ta-ta. How are you doing today? I'm prettier than you are. Week after week. I want to go out somewhere and puke. Amen. Anyway, let me give you the philosophy. Listen carefully to this now. For the sake of time, you only got so much time, so let's talk about Huxley. Here's what Huxley said. He said the scientific and evolutionary system itself would become a god that was worshipped. And questioning any aspect of it, such as the validity of evolution as empirical science, or any decision or outcome, would be tantamount to blasphemy. You're immediately marked. It is also noted that evolution is absolutely central to the ambitions of the technocratic global elite. Thus, after more than 80 years of nearly unopposed evolutionary evangelization in schools, seminaries, pulpits, media, academia, and elsewhere, global elite God men, put that in the back of your mind, God men, that's important. God men, like Jeremy Rifkin, are finally free to declare that evolution is a living mind, enlarging its domain as it evolves and through the chain of species. Did you get this? You can't see a mind. You can't put it under a microscope. It's not a tangible thing, but it is a reality. You've got a mind in here this morning. That's what you're listening to me with. You're thinking with that mind. And he says this. Now listen carefully. He says, moreover, now that the evolution God mind reigns supreme, global elitists no longer feel like guests in someone else's home and therefore obliged to make their behavior conform with a set of pre-existing cosmic rules. In other words, they've come out and they're in charge, they're ruling, and listen to this. Rifkin says, it is our creation now. We make the rules and establish the parameters of reality. We create the world and no longer have to justify our behavior. We are responsible for nothing outside ourselves, for we are the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Now, you Christians, you just revolt at that thought. I mean, it shakes you to your core because you're listening to blasphemy. Sure you are. That's pure blasphemy. But that is the mindset of these people. That's how they think. They think that there is a universal mind, and that universal mind is a spiritual entity that can be tapped into. And once you are part of the elite, you tap into that universal mind, that entity, and by doing so, you allow yourself to begin to evolve into a greater godhood, because God, after all, is a nondescript person, but a power, a force. You listening? So the Bible in the book of Daniel talks about the God of forces. Now, what kind of God is there really? There's only one God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's male. From everlasting to everlasting, He is God, and there's none beside Him. He is the Creator. He abides alone. He doesn't need anything. He's holy, holy, holy. And He is the Redeemer of mankind. He is not a non-distinct force. He's not some kind of universal mind out here. Some of us, and we can't get it today, but some of them even go so far as to say that Sirius, how many's ever heard of Sirius? That's a dog. The constellation of the dog is behind the sun, and that there is a sun behind the sun. Now, I'm just throwing this out for you because we'll cover this later. But there's a sun behind the sun, and to be able to tap into that, you're tapping into this energy. And by receiving this energy, this evolutionary process is speeded up within you, and you reach godhood. Now, the Hindus have been teaching this for a long time, that they become gods. You remember what the Bible says in the book of Genesis? What did Satan say when he confronted Eve? Ye shall be as what? Gods, knowing good and evil, to elevate them to godhood or to the Godhead. Do you know why? Because Satan, even though he fell, said, I will be like the Most High. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. All of his wills. He knew so much of the Godhead, but not all there is to know about the Godhead. No one will ever know what there is to know about the Godhead, but by revelation. He must make himself known to you. You must be able to receive what he makes known to you. You cannot find God by searching. Canst thou by searching find out God? No, you can't do it. That's a rhetorical question. Plain words, it's a question, but it says something in the question. That means that, no, there's no way you can find God, because He abides within His own element. He's holy, holy, holy. And He must bring us to Himself. He must reveal Himself to us. This is one of the great themes of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. That is the progressive revelation of the Creator to His creation. So when somebody says, how in the world could Satan rebel against God, knowing how great God was? Satan only knew so much about God. Only as much as God revealed himself to him. And of course, when he did, he was the anointed cherub that covereth. So we come back to Plato. We come to Greek philosophers. We come to all this stuff about how do we, since we don't have the direct revelation of God, which is the scripture, I'm speaking in the sense that they're speaking. They don't have the word of God. You'll never understand anything about God without his word. The Bible says when they knew God, Romans 1, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their foolish imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made as corruptible man or something here on this earth, right? They do this out of ignorance. The only way you're going to know God is by direct revelation. And the scriptures from cover to cover, folks, are direct revelation. It's God revealing himself to us. So when you go to try to find a God or define God outside the pages of the Bible, what kind of mess are you getting into? You're getting a terrible mess. If you run to a Hindu, a Buddhist, Confucius, or you run to Brahmism, you run to anything out here, you run to any kind of a religion on this, and they're all connected to the same spirit, run to them. All that's left for you is total darkness. The only light is in the Word of God. So now here we go. Here we go. I'm an evolutionist, all right? I'm an evolutionist. I deny the reality of a personal God. But I cannot deny the fact that there's something going on here that's designing things. I get into DNA, and I look at this double spiraled helix, and I realize there's a communication going between it. This couldn't just happen. There's got to be something going on. So what do? I reject the God of the Bible. I reject direct revelation from God. I reject a personal God. You know why I reject him? Because if I admit that there's a personal God, I'm accountable to him. And I don't want that. I've got to figure out how I'm going to be able to do this thing without being accountable to a personal God. So I get into this universal mind. I get into this idea, yes, there is an intelligence there. And that intelligence, it evolved itself. It all started with some pristine primeval thing somewhere, somehow. And it has evolved to the point to where it is about to take a quantum leap. Because mankind now has evolved biologically, but mankind is about to take a quantum leap and evolve spiritually and become a God-man. That's their message. That's where they are right now. That's why they're able to look down at you as a peon and tell you, you are meaningless, we are the elite. And if you don't march to our tune, you don't march, period. We'll put you away. One of the biggest names, and I won't name him this morning, in the elite world, that's been around from president to president to president to president, made this statement about military people. He said they're nothing but beast to be sacrificed on the altar. That's what he said. And he was directly responsible and accountable to presidents for the people who went in the military and went out on the battlefield and died for this nation. Do you believe that there are more in the elite that believe that? Why would they take such a position like that? They take that position because they feel like they have evolved spiritually to a much higher plane than you have. And that's why they want to control you. Listen to this. I know I'm dumping a bunch of stuff on you. I know that. We'll after the services, we'll go outside and run around a little bit. Maybe it'll ease some of this off. I mean, there's a lot of pressure coming on here. Do what? Yeah, a chemtrail. Yeah, go ahead and take a big breath of chemtrail. Just, you know, get it over with quickly. Jeremy Rifkin said this in 1983. This is what Linda Kimball says. Here we see that in the completely delusional, entirely depraved, and ultimately demonically orchestrated global elite dreamscape, it is not the personal triune God who has created and sustains the world. No, it is the Gnostic man-god who creates and sustains his own world and meaning in every moment out of his own divine consciousness. That's a mouthful. Digest that and you've got the whole thing. You've got a synopsis right here of every bit of it encapsulated in this one little small statement. Given the likelihood that an ancient evil intelligence has crawled inside Rifkin and other technocratic godmen, the fact that New Age spirituality relies heavily on spirit revelations, channeled through mediums such as Blavatsky, Bailey, Benjamin Krem, Robert Mueller, Neil Donald Walsh, Barbara Marx Hubbard, to name but a few, should come as no surprise. Penn observes that all together they form a comprehensive anti-gospel setting forth a Gnostic progressive vision of apocalyptic spiritualized totalitarianism that includes, number one, praise for Lucifer as the light bearer and giver of wisdom. Number two, highly evolved humans as gods. Number three, advocacy for an extreme population control. Number four, concentrated hate directed at faithful Judaism and Orthodox evangelical Protestantism. Number five, forecasting a pending and for them desirable selection of mankind in which the progressives enter the New Age millennium and reactionaries, that's what I am, face extinction. For New Age apostles, progressive social Darwinism, these casualties are a necessary price to pay for human evolution. You never imagined that evolution was so complicated, did you? And so involved, and so wicked, and so evil, and had such an agenda involved with it. And how men... Now, where do you think it came from? Do you think that came from God, or do you think that came from Satan? Now, how many of you have to admit this morning, Satan's pretty sharp? He is. Don't try to outwit him. When the Lord Jesus Christ was confronted by Satan, after he'd been baptized, spent 40 days in the wilderness... Folks, it wasn't 40 days in the wilderness and then the devil came to him and tried to tempt him. It was 40 days of tempting in the wilderness. And when he came to him, the Lord Jesus Christ did not get into a personal assault against Satan or into an argument with him. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, it is written," and quoted the scripture. Because the power is in the Word of God. The power is in the Word of God. That's not to take anything from the Lord. He's a living Word. He's incarnate Word. But at the time, he quoted the scripture. Now, speaking through Barbara Marx Hubbard, her spirit guide Christ, prophesied 95, that the rider of the pale horse will use the sword as one of his means to kill those who choose to remain self-centered. Who are the self-centered ones? The meaning of self-centered, briefly defined, a global biodiversity assessment, a document mandated UN-sponsored convention on biological diversity. Are you listening? This document explicitly refers to Christianity as a faith that rather than making God and humans one with nature, has instead set God and humans apart from nature. Amen. A process in which nature has lost its sacred qualities. The document states, conversion to Christianity has meant an abandonment of an affinity with the natural world. Guess who said that? Al Gore, the United Nations, and the cult of Gaia. Cliff Kincaid, AmericaSurvival.org, 1999. Are you getting a hold of this now? And I'll close with this part down here from this paper. All modern Gnostic pagan movements share the same chiliastic goal, a coming new pantheistic order, new pagan God-man, completely purified of all evil and existing in oneness with the evolutionary God force. This means extermination of all faithful Christians and Jews and other dissenters who refuse to become one with the God of forces. To summarize all of what I just read, the bottom line is that they know that by preaching and teaching evolution, that there's a whole lot more going on than simply biological evolution. There's got to be some kind of a design. If you've got a design, you've got a motive, you've got a purpose, you've got an agenda, you've got an end game. And therefore, to bring that into the element, they have to redefine it on their own terms. They reject the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the creator of the universe. And therefore, they embrace the pagan God. The Gnostic gods, they embrace all of that stuff. And that's a different study in itself to go back and see what all these people believed. Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, all of this Greek philosophy, what they believed and what goes back before them. How many's ever heard of Hermes Trismegistus? Hermes Trismegistus. How many's ever heard of the Hermetic orders? You have. That is a product of Hermes. Hermes is not necessarily mythical, but he's a mystical character who came from Egypt. And they say that he is the father of all of the occult knowledge that was built up in ancient Egypt. You remember the serpent coming over the top of the head, the Pharaoh with the serpent and all that? He's the father of this ancient Egyptian knowledge. and that has been disseminated today in so many different forms with so many different groups. This hermetic order is a wide, broad thing, but it all goes back to the same basic philosophy. And that philosophy is this: that there is a universal mind, there is an intelligence out there, but it's not the God of the Bible. And that you can tap into that, and by tapping into that, it becomes one with you, and you will evolve to even greater heights quicker by tapping into this universal intelligence and this mind. The way you do that is by enlightenment, by stages of enlightenment, by layers of enlightenment. The initiates no more than the common people. The higher you rise on that ladder, the closer you come to godhood. And by becoming a god, then you are a candidate for the highest position. As you might say, you remember what I told you, how that the Kundalini yoga comes to the top of the head, the female part, and that Shiva, the male part, comes down, and the joining of the male and the female produce the thing that's called samadhi, which you literally have become one with that universal mind. Now, this stuff sounds crazy to Christians because it's a bunch of pagan stuff, but these folks believe this stuff. This is the foundation for what makes them what they are. And you're going to find this repeated over and over and over and over again. When an attorney general of the United States of America threatens to prosecute a legitimate scientist on criminal prosecution and make a felon out of him or her because he or she rejects this gospel of global warming, we are in bad shape. What's next? Prosecution of anybody in this nation who rejects the propaganda coming down about transgenderism, or whatever edict is passed down from above. Do you see where it's headed? This is what you call a totalitarian state. This is what you call a dictatorship. That's what it is. There's two ways to look at your life right now, 2016. How many of you really understand that you are living in a time that has never been known in this country? Never. And it's a short history. We haven't been around long, but we've been here a few hundred years. In the history of this nation, there has never been a time like there is right now. How many of you really got a hold of the import of that? That's where we're living right now. You're living through it. You're right smack in the middle of it right now. You're watching this stuff unfold before your very eyes. I think it's amazing. On one hand, it's exciting. On the other hand, it angers you when you see how wicked and vile these people are. But it is a reality that you cannot deny. It's happening. And you find it hard in your soul to say, how in the world did we get here? Because it didn't happen overnight. Like that thing I read to you a moment ago, where for decades they've been brainwashing, conditioning the minds of these young people who go off to these public educational centers into accepting evolution. And once they accept evolution, they accept the spirit of evolution. Once you accept the spirit of evolution, you have accepted the spirit of Antichrist. And once you accept the spirit of Antichrist, you have to make a decision. Because when the light comes to you, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, if you reject the truth and reject the light, God will send you a strong delusion that you might be damned. Now, I got thinking about this the other day, and I've been thinking about it all week long. This strong delusion, I don't know what it is, but it may already be here. Yeah, it may already be here. There for a long time, I hadn't really given a whole lot of thought to it, and I always put it in the tribulation period, but it may be here right now. Absolutely. It may be here right now, leading people into the tribulation, right now. Can you ever remember a time when it was as deceptive as it is right now? No. This is mind-boggling. All right, I want to close with something right here this morning. This is mind-boggling. I did a thing on CERN Switzerland a few months back, if you'll remember. I got a hold of this thing a few days ago. I was reading on something else, and that's the way it happens so many times. I'm reading about one thing, and then something else pops up. And this is amazing. This is the author of this article is a man in this case. I think his name is Matt Patterson. And here's what he says. He says, "The English are heirs to a vast Western tradition, the sole ambition of which is to carefully categorize and explain the whole of nature. And this enterprise has been remarkably successful. Certainly Westerners can claim," so forth and so on. Let's get into it. "Perhaps the Western penetration of nature has been superficial at best. In fact, the foremost thinkers on the very edges of science are staring into an abyss of knowledge," literally. Scientists are staring into an abyss of knowledge. "Dark matter and dark energy combined." Now, I did a thing on dark matter, dark energy, but not like this. This man opens this up like I've never seen it before. "Dark matter and dark energy combined make up 95% of everything." And pause right there and think about that for a moment. That's the invisible part, which is much larger than the visible. Here's what he says. "Yet we have no idea what these things are, how they work, or what they mean for the fate of the universe. Put it this way. All of the stars, star-spawned material that is visible in the universe, including every planet, person, or proton, accounts for a mere 5% of existence. It reflects radiation or emits it. It shines glorious in the night sky, begging for our gaze, our all the rest. We know it's there, but we cannot see it. It is literally dark. Dark matter is composed of some thing other than the electrons and protons that make up our 5% world. Whatever it is, we can be thankful for it. It seems to be the only thing holding the galaxies together. There is not enough ordinary matter present in observable galaxies to prevent them from disintegrating. Dark energy is a mysterious force borne by some thing other than the photons that carry energy in our 5% world. We know it exists because we observe its effect on our luminous matter. The universe is flying apart. Gravity should be slowing the universe down, contracting its constituent parts. Instead, they're flying apart at an increasing rate. Bottom line, the vastness of creation is invisible. And whatever it is out there in the vastness of creation that makes up 95% of it holds the visible part that you see together. Now, how do you remember reading the book of Colossians, chapter number 1?
Amen.
Not only did he make everything, but by him it consists. In other words, it is held together. Now, they found out what holds your body together. They know what holds it together. You know what it's called? Lignin. Lignin. And you go in there and you pull up lignin. Run a Google search this afternoon on lignin. L-I-G-N-E-N, I think the spelling. Run a Google search on that, and it's amazing at what it looks like. How many has ever seen a picture of lignin? You know what it looks like? A cross. Not a crescent star, not a crescent moon, or star, but a cross. Now that, of course, was there in the first man before the cross was ever brought into being. Lignin. So what does he hold it together with? His word. The word that created also is the word that holds it together. Now, can you see the word? Word's like a mind. It's an invisible thing. But do you deny the reality of your mind? Some of you say, "I'm not so sure." Well, you know. If you're thinking and you're listening to me, you've got a mind. Explain it for me. What is that mind? Define it for me. "Well, my brain," I'm not talking about your brain. I'm talking about your mind. The Bible says you can change your mind. "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ." A mind is a very mysterious thing, but it's a reality. And so it is with the Word that upholds all things by the Word of His power. He created it and He holds it together. And scientists call it dark matter. They know the reason they call it that's because it's invisible. They can't see it. They have no connection to it. Isn't our God something? Now, if you're an evolutionist and you believe in the universal mind, I feel bad for you. I know how I got here. We were brought into being by the direct act of a creator. And that's why we're here.
Yes. Sure, there could be the reason they call it dark matter because they're still in darkness.
Yeah. 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 It's very true. That light that he said, let there be, back there in the book of Genesis, what was that? That wasn't the sun or the moon. Yes, let there be. All right, I'm done. We'll pick this up next week and start making some connections now. And God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll let you go. Brother Scott, will you dismiss us?
Lord, Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, we pray that you help us through these times, Lord, the deception that is so thick. I thank you for our pastor who shows us the darkness that this world is trying to shove down in our face. I pray, Lord, that the light of your Spirit would enlighten our hearts and our minds, and that we focus on you and rejoice in the truth. Lord, that we be strengthened, that you're greater than all the world, and that you'll prevail, and you'll help us, Lord, to walk each day, and that we might shine your light to this lost and dying world. Help us, Lord, meet with us today. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Amen.